actor Michael Rapaport is going to join us. Also, we'll do the news. First, there's Geico.
Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
The Adam Carolla Show presents Michael Rapaport's birthday cocktail party for March 20th. Let's see who's here. The 41st mayor of San Francisco, Willie Brown. Carl Reiner just showed up. The subject of the Pink Floyd song, Vera, from The Wall. Does anybody here remember Vera Lynn? Ice hockey legend, Bobby Orr. Australian scientist and the inventor of the flight data recorder, also known as the black box, which, by the way, is orange so it can be located. David Warren. Black box. Good name for GSV. Fred Rogers is here. We've got a 20 on the snowman. Jerry Reed is here. Pat Riley, the drummer for ELP. Carl Palmer, actor William Hurt. Stevie Ray's brother, guitarist Jimmy Vaughn. Spike Lee just joined the party, and he brought Mookie Blaylock. Holly Hunter is here with Kathy Ireland. And here to explain why everyone acts like they act, behaviorist B.F. Skinner. Michael Rapaport is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, Michael.
Yo.
Just for clarity, it's Rapaport with a T, right?
Rapaport with a T. Do I look French to you, Adam?
No, you do sound French. You just don't know. Michael's got a podcast called I Am Rapaport. Last time I saw him, I think I was wearing the T-shirt that said I Am Rapaport on. And it was a total coincidence. It's now on the iHeartRadio podcast network. Michael, so we're looking at your IMDb page, and we got a bunch of movies, but we didn't get Mighty Aphrodite. Do you have thoughts as to why that's how it works, and do you have thoughts about that experience working with Woody Allen way back when?
I mean, it was great working with him. I worked with him a couple of times. You know, I mean, his body of work is ridiculous. He's a very hands-off director, like all the great directors that I've ever worked with. They're not, you know, hemming and hawing and breathing down your back. It was easy working with him. Very, very easy.
What other stuff did you work on with him on?
I worked with him on Mighty Aphrodite. I worked with him on Small Time Crooks, another good film. And I did a series with him for I don't know what streaming company.
Did you just go in and audition at first, or did he see you in some other work?
I never auditioned for him. When I met him for Mighty Aphrodite, he didn't tell me what he saw. He told me he saw me in something, and you know, the meeting was literally less than 5 minutes. He was like, you know. You're in New York. I say, yeah, I'm in New York. He goes, oh, I'm doing something in a couple of weeks. You know, will you be around? I was like, yep. It was literally something like that. I swear to God, it was like 2 minutes. And then, you know, I got a call a couple hours later that he cast me in the movie, which was very, very, very exciting at the time. And you know, like I said, a very, very easy working experience with him.
Yeah, I think that's the key. Anyone has ever worked with directors that are sort of agitated and on you. It's just like, I never understood why people, like when I would host the show, I would always go visit with the guests and I would go say whatever you want. You can't do anything wrong. If the show sucks, it's my fault. Have fun. And then other people go like, don't do this. You can't say that. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you getting up in everyone's fucking head? It's weird. We're trying to coax natural performance out of somebody. Like, why would you do that?
I agree.
So many do.
It's funny that you said that you do that, because you, you then, but I did get that text from you saying, well, when you come on the show today, don't say this, don't say that. So it's funny that, which is weird, which is weird.
The end of that text.
You've never done that before.
At the end of the text, I said, do not bring that shit up on the air, Michael.
I didn't get to that part because I was so freaked out that you had sent me the first part. I'll reread. I'm sorry. I didn't bring that up.
We'll cut this out.
The dead giveaway is Adam sent me a text.
Yeah, I really don't know how to do that. Although I do, the little texting I do like it better because there's more distance between you and the person you're trying to communicate with. Nice. Speaking of you and the huge personality, everyone knows you on Stern and knows you always going at it with Gary Delabate. And I don't know.
Are you still calling him that?
I don't know. Fa-fa funky or monkey or... But
yeah, because it's funny you call him Gary, and it's clearly a gorilla dressed up in human clothes, and they gave him a human name, and it's cute. It's cute, but it's like at some point that gorilla, like all pet gorillas, it will turn and it will attack Stern and the entire Stern Show staff, and then it won't be so funny. So when you go, oh Gary, that's like you're sort of placating it, and then when that dirty filthy ape goes back to resorting to being the dirty filthy ape that he is, then it's going to be a shit show. And then where are we? Then what do we have? We have blood on our hands, and you're going to have blood on your hands, Adam.
This whole time I thought it was a real person.
Mm. Yeah.
I come to find out.
Fooled you once. Shame on you.
How did that whole thing start? Like you showed up as a guest. I'm guessing, like, when was your first appearance on Stern?
I don't know. Maybe close to eight years ago. But you know, I'm a fan of the show, and you know, I'm a fan of, you know, the chaos of the show, and I never try to be, you know, sort of part of the show. I always, I don't try to, you know, like be Mr. Superfan or all that stuff. Like for me, the fun part of participating on the Stern Show is sort of being a part of the chaos and the unpredictability and the sort of, is this real or is it not real part of it? That's what I really, really like. And that's what I'm a fan of. So that's, you know, why when I'm on there, I do what I do.
Michael created my favorite insult of all time. It's in the headlines. It's super funny. Referring to Gary's mouth as a wet market.
That's correct. That is correct.
It's really
mouth
good.
Is a wet market. That's very correct. I appreciate that you
I'm a
brought
fan.
That up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
God, I used to do Stern Show after I got off of Loveline at midnight from L.A. We started at 3 in the morning.
Man, that's crazy.
3 in the morning. And I would go home. For the insane part of that schedule is I was at Westwood 1. And I would do Stern from Westwood 1, and I would sit in the entire show for 5 hours. And so I started at 3 LA time. I don't know why I didn't go, I'll join you guys at 4 so I can sleep in.
Or I'll set up a bed.
Yeah, I'll power through.
A cot.
I would leave Loveline at 12:03. I would drive to my house in the Hollywood Hills.
12:03 for your keys. Come back in and grow.
I would just go a minute or two long. Then I would walk in my front door at 12:30. Then I would pour a glass of wine and I would watch SportsCenter. And then at 1:30, I would go to bed. And then at 2:30, I would wake up and drive back to Culver City and go right back into the exact same studio and sit there for 5 hours.
That's crazy.
The toughest part was driving home at like 9:15 in the morning. Traffic, people drinking coffee and like walking around. I was like, I can't operate a vehicle. Like I couldn't. People don't realize sleep deprivation will kick the shit out of you in 10 seconds flat. Yeah. Or I don't know, Michael, maybe you're one of those guys who annoys everyone by saying, I wake up at 5 no matter when I go to bed.
No, 100% definitely not. I'm definitely not one of those people. This morning, actually, since you brought that up, I actually had I was watching this Kobe Bryant documentary, and I said, you know what? I want to get up tomorrow and work out and have the Mamba mentality. And I set my alarm to 5:30. And when my alarm went off at 5:30, I hit the snooze button. But let me tell you something. When I hit that snooze button, I was motivated to shut the shit off. But that was as close as I got to having the mama mentality.
What doc is this? Because I know you've done docs. I know you did a Tribe Called Quest doc, and I'm guessing you must have some other doc ideas you're kicking around or working on.
Yeah, you know, I did a Tribe Called Quest documentary, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which I loved doing and very proud of that. I did a 30 for 30 on the last championship Knickerbocker teams, the New York Knicks.
Right.
And, you know, I play around with the idea of doing different stuff for docs, but they're very, very challenging, and you can't really dip your toe into a documentary. You have to really swim in the deep, deep, deep part of the ocean with passion to get them done. So right now I don't have anything that I'm really excited about doing, but maybe someday I will make another one.
Speaking of what we were talking about earlier, Michael, how did you put your interview subjects at ease when you were doing the Beats, Rhymes, and Life, which fantastic doc, by the way? How'd you put them in a space where they would open up to you?
Just try to be as genuine as possible and as curious as possible. I mean, I think, you know, the main thing you need is a documentary, as a documentary filmmaker, is curiosity. And I was very, very curious. And like I said, you know, if you're going to do a documentary, you can't be half interested, sort of interested, kind of, you know, it takes too much work. It's too much ground to pound, too little money to sort of, you know, play around with it. You have to really, really be excited about getting it done.
Yeah, the documentaries are sort of about legacy more than they're about making money, because there's not a real path financially to really. I mean, by the time if you did your hourly rate, you'd be well below someone who works at McDonald's in terms of the amount of money you get paid per hour. If you just took all the weekends of you sitting there with time codes and watching long cuts and trimming and, you know, just whatever expenditure was. Like, if you treated making a doc like lawyers treat billable hours on a case, like, oh, well, I was golfing, but I was thinking about you, buddy. So that'll be $5,200. Like, if you treated it like billable hours that Mark Garagos does, a doc, you would definitely come out lower than minimum wage.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Yeah, I mean, there's a chance it goes to Sundance and there's a bidding war, but that's probably not going
to
happen.
That happened to Michael's doc.
Oh, wait.
They played at Sundance, right?
Yeah. We did well for a documentary. We did well. And when I say did well, I didn't make any of my money back, but people still talk about the film.
So, like you said, the legacy.
Yeah,
not
but
the
money. It is the legacy. It's this is what you did. And also, there's a weird kind of custodial part of it, which is nobody would know this story if we didn't make it in this digestible bite size. I mean, you could buy a book on anything, but I mean, this 90-minute digestible, entertaining piece. Yes.
For sure.
I know you got into it with Kevin Durant last year. How's that feud?
Yep.
How's that feud going?
Well, I mean, you know, he's proven that he's, you know, one of the wildest athletes in the modern era. You know, he goes after, you know, random people on Twitter. Now he's going after the coach, Steve Nash, that he approved to be hired. He's going after the GM. And, you know, I'm sure he'll get traded at some point and piggyback his way to another. I don't think he'll ever win another championship. Maybe he'll win one at the next stop after this next stop. But, you know, he came to New York with a great opportunity to win a championship, and he's leaving Brooklyn, you know, with his head down. And it's, you know, like I said, he's one of the best players in the league, but he's certainly, you know, not a leader. He's not emotionally stable. He's had COVID, I believe, allegedly 3 times, which is one more than he has championship rings.
He's
an excellent player. You know what I mean? An excellent player, but he wasn't built for the bright lights of New York City.
I would reckon that most Americans had COVID more than they had championship rings. I mean, to be fair to Kevin Durant, You
yes,
know, Mike,
that's true.
Mike August, had it twice. And
yeah, he has no rings.
Even
yeah,
Biden had it two times.
Has no rings on the
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. You're right about that. That was kind of a cheap shot, but that's what I'm here for.
No, I'm just looking for accuracy. I mean, I'm not – I was entertained by it. So what is his – first off, I feel like he's been in the league for 15 years. I mean, you said the stop after the next stop is – or maybe it's his male pattern baldness, which is a cheap shot as well. But it makes me think he looks a little older. Was how long is drafted in 07?
He's 33.
Oh, so I guess
I mean he's still you know one of the best players. It's but you know he's got a 4-year contract with the Nets. Inevitably, he's going to wind up getting traded somewhere. He just asked, like I said, for the coach that he approved, 2-time MVP. And Hall of Famer Steve Nash, he approved him to be the coach. And now not only does he want the coach to be fired, he wants the GM to be fired. You know, and he instead of just saying what he wants you know, sticking to his guns, you know, the day after the draft, he said he wanted to be traded. It's unfixable at this point with him and the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm sure the Brooklyn Nets fans and the fans of, you know, basketball, you know, like I just don't think it's good. I don't think it's classy. I don't think it's a champion. And for somebody who's that good, you know, his decision-making is just really bad. He's got G League decision-making and, you know, Hall of Fame skills.
Is there, I love that Ben Affleck movie. Are we at a point where some of these players are getting paid so much and have like so much juice that it's just hard to coach them now? Like the coaches can't do what they used to do. You know, they have to. And this guy's getting a vote on who they hire and all
that. The super mega stars are like de facto GMs or assistant GMs. You know, they run the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think that it's a two way street. I think the coaches. You know, what it means to be a coach has to evolve. And I think they, you know, specifically in the NBA, they've, in my opinion, they've given the powers too much leverage. They've given the players too much leverage. You got guys sitting out entire seasons like Ben Simmons last year and getting paid, although they're trying not to, you know, they're trying to, you know, not pay him for, you know, some of his time in Philadelphia. I'm sure that's going to wind up going to court. You know, you got the Houston Rockets who paid John Wall not to play, literally like a piece of merchandise, so he didn't get hurt, so his trade value would, you know, stay high. It's just not good. I feel like if you know Kyrie Irving last year, you know, with the vaccine and you know his you know stepping away from games, you know, he continued to get paid, you know, a lot of his money. I think there has to be. You know, there has to be ramifications for not playing unless you're injured. You can't just not like the coach, not like the fans, you know, not like, you know, the vaccine mandates and all this. Guaranteed money is I think, going to go away because of some of the guys I just mentioned.
Gina.
I can't remember how long ago it was, maybe a few months. We brought up, maybe it was during the news, that you had filmed yet another, because they're everywhere, especially in our big cities, dude like smashing and grabbing at like maybe a Dwayne Reed and followed him out the door in New York. Did you get any blowback for that? Because you'd be shocked at the blowback we get in LA for saying, can you please, you know, not shoot up in front of the kid's school?
Well, I wish it would have been a smash and grab. It would have been even more exciting. It was so casual, and the guy was so relaxed in a Rite Aid, you know, just packing his bags with condoms and toothpaste and some shampoo. And then he went back and got hair conditioner that matched the shampoo.
Oh, good.
And he walked out, and I just happened to be in there. But it was, you know, we were making eye contact, and I was just tripped out. The thing that was most trippy is that how casually he was about it. And I just started filming because I had never seen that happen in person. You know, you see it online and, you know, because it was me and, you know, my social media platform is big, you know, it went super duper viral. You know, I mean, something's got to change, you know, it's not okay to be able to do that. It's not okay to be able to, you know, do drugs in the middle of the street. It's not okay. There's so many things that are not okay that are going on in this, you know, in the country right now. It's not okay, you know, in some states, Indiana just, you know, is the first state. I think they're very proud of banning abortions. You have an animal like Philip Gunn down in Mississippi. These are government officials saying that they think if a 10-year-old girl gets raped, that they should have to carry the baby. I mean, there's crazy shit going on across the board. And, you know, we could say, oh, it's this side and that side. I don't support sides. I support reality. I support what's fair, what's right. And it certainly isn't cool, dope, fresh, or American to be able to walk into a Rite Aid and just pack your bag and not even feel scared
right
to do that. Like, you know, normally, like, you know, back in my days, if you stole a pack of gum, like, your heart should be racing. This yes. motherfucker was in there like, you know, like it was shopping. It was just a day at the beach.
And the security guard was kind of just like, what do you want from me? You know, he didn't
say
stop.
He said people come in there all the time and do it. He said it had happened all the time. He said mm-hmm. it was, you know, he said, you know, some frat kids came in, you know, on that. He said Friday, he referenced Friday. He was like, they took beers and said, have a good night, man. Like, they're just like, yo, we're just getting our shit.
Wow. Yeah. So I was saying this the other day on another show, but I was saying, you know, when I was a kid, as it pertains to sort of crime, because now we have video everywhere and everyone has a Ring doorbell and a camera and a monitor or anything. So when I was a kid.
Wait, hold on. There's someone at my door. Hold on. Hold on.
Speaking of which.
Wow. He knew because he had a Ring doorbell.
So let's hope it's the guy he was talking shit about.
Scary Del Monte.
It's Kevin Durant.
Fight. Okay. When I was a kid, there were two things that involved my backyard where a Ring doorbell would have come in.
Game changer.
Nicely. One is my mom had a pot plant that got stolen from the backyard. And
pot or potted?
Pot.
Oh.
Was definitely one of my friends that stole that pot plant, but we would have been able to substantiate right. who it was.
I'm back.
The other, I was saying, back in the day, my mom got a pot plant stolen out of her backyard. If we had video footage of it, I could have busted the kid. It was one of my right. friends. I wasn't sure which one. And then later on,
bastard.
Famously, I had a friend announce that he'd returned my unicycle to my backyard, and it must have been stolen mm-hmm. if I couldn't find it back there. And that was the last we saw. And a video camera would have solved this problem. Right. So if you would have told me back in 1975, we're going to have video cameras everywhere, not just stores, convenience stores, every backyard, every porch. As a matter of fact, if somebody is, you know, a bomber and they're walking down the street, they're going to get picked up from this camera to that yep. camera. We'll trace their entire.
It'd be a perfect society, you'd think.
Right. But here's the caveat. We decided not to do anything about the video right. footage. So you could call the cops and go, I have video footage of a guy stealing shit off my porch. And they'd be like, good luck yeah. to you. Or you could have a dashboard, you know, dash cam of somebody blowing out your window and stealing your backpack. And they'd go, fine. So we're ostensibly in the same place.
Right.
We have the evidence, but we just ended up in the same place. Either way, your shit's gone, and there's nothing we can do about it. At least we have, you know, video evidence. And it is insane to me that every one of these stores is filled with 1,000 cameras, and the people just walk in there with impunity and steal shit. But here's how it works. Criminals they are in the business of getting away with as much as they can possibly get away with. And so whatever we let them do, do not be surprised if that's what they do. And that's what Michael walked into the middle of. How is New York? I was in New York a couple of weeks ago. It seemed good, but I didn't ride the subway. I think I might be a little freaked out about the subway.
New York is great. Listen, you know, there's been violence in the subway for as long as I've been alive in New York. I was born in 1970. There's been terrible things in the subway. I don't know the statistics, you know.
Well, I saw the Warriors. I get it.
You saw it.
Yeah.
You know, Bernard gets, you know, obviously now there's more cameras and there's more ways to document it. Not to say that it's always been as bad as it's been. But, you know, it's New York. It's a subway. Like any big city, you got to be careful. You know, it's not what it should be by any means. But, you know, sometimes when you just watch Twitter and Instagram, you think that, you know, people are down there, you know, with bazookas and, you know, and machetes, you know, just chopping people up. And that is not the case. Like I said, it's inexcusable, the violence. It's inexcusable to feel unsafe. The homelessness is shit in New York. The homelessness is shit in all our big cities. I was just in Los Angeles. It's embarrassing what's going on in Los Angeles. And it needs to get better all over the place. I can only speak on the cities that I, you know and you know, and visit, because like I said about just about New York, the media will make it one thing. You know, it sometimes it's different, but for me, you know, New York and in the subway, it's not what it should be, but it's certainly not, you know, it's not unusable.
Well,
the subway is not like a place where you can't go.
I only lived in New York for a few years, but let's put it this way. Today, I would much rather just jump on the train in New York. I wouldn't think twice about it than get on the train here and go to Dodger Stadium.
Oh,
I'd be much more comfortable.
Forget about our subway.
No way.
Did you know what I noticed is many more pedicabs. I never noticed the pedal cabs when I
in
was
Chicago,
there. I never even saw them when I was in New York several years ago. Now they're all over the place. And a hell of a lot more falafel carts, man. There's a lot of street food going on and a lot of pot trucks, too. There's like trucks that sell gummies, edibles.
We didn't have those.
There's pot trucks. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't figure out if it, because weed is not legal in New York. They have like, I don't know, they have this weird middle ground that they're playing around with, but pot trucks are dope. You know, I don't smoke like I used to as far as weed, but one thing that I think is this, because New York is a walking city. California is, you know, you're in your car everywhere. One thing that is not cool, I could say about New York, is that when sometimes it's just weed everywhere. And whether you're a weed smoker or not, I'm like, that shit is just like, yo, I'm not at a Grateful Dead concert. We're not at Woodstock. I don't want to smell it all over the place, 24/7.
Yeah, I don't know what the legalities are, the rules are of the truck. I just sort of passed by a few, and
that's
I
shocking.
Noticed they looked like food trucks, but they were selling edibles.
Wow.
But, good idea.
Yeah, but, well, now you know why there's so many more falafel trucks, too. I mean, they got the falafel cart, the food, the pot,
everyone
load up on edibles and then stagger over down to get some falafel. But I didn't know. I didn't think they were selling dime bags, but they were definitely selling
like
something.
The Rice Krispie space cakes, whatever.
I guess there's some law somehow.
They're doing something. They're doing something. Some sort of something.
Let me write that down. Yes. Where do you live in the city approximately? You don't have to give your address out.
Right in Manhattan. Born and raised right here in Manhattan, and I'm back here full time. I was sort of more based in LA, but now I'm full time in New York, and you know, I come to LA when need be.
Cuomo signed a bill decriminalizing recreational marijuana for adults in March of 2021.
There you go.
It was like a little pandemic thing going on there. Let me give a plug to Michael. I Am Rappaport. It is now on iHeartMedia Podcast Network.
And, yes.
And you can also shoot him and check his Instagram out at Michael Rappaport as well. Good to catch up with you, Michael.
Yo, it's good to catch up with you. I've always been a fan, and I appreciate the support always. And, I listen to you guys, and thank you for having me, man.
Thanks, Michael. We'll see you soon. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. Weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grad. Stuff they saw on TMZ. Joe Biden. Kamala. Meet news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, this story is getting some attention, and sometimes with enough attention, things start to change. But Facebook has turned over chats of a mother and her daughter to Nebraska police because they were planning a murder. No, they were robbing a bank. No. they served a warrant as part of an investigation into an illegal abortion, according to court documents in Nebraska. Facebook. Wow. Facebook snitched.
Why did Facebook do that?
They were served a warrant. They handed it over. The investigation was launched in April before the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade.
Is there an abortion emoji, or do you have to write everything out?
Yeah, there will be one.
Is there a
eggplant is a dick. Oh, Brian.
I'm asking.
So the investigation – okay, so in this instance, Facebook's turning over information to help law enforcement officials pursue an abortion case.
A skull and a rattle.
Oh, my God. But it's also one example of a scenario that abortion rights experts have warned about that will be common. This isn't – you know, the private matters are no longer private.
So is this – and just what it is on its face.
Well, let me tell you. I'll tell you exactly what happened according to them. So Madison County prosecutors, because they're trying to prosecute, say Jessica Burgess, she's 41, acquired and gave abortion pills to her daughter. Now, that could be the plan B or, you know, whatever. I'm not really sure. Who was 17, her 17-year-old daughter at the time. And then they had to secretly bury the embryo in the backyard. Give it a private burial because they didn't know what to do.
Wait, I don't know that much.
That's what it says.
Is it? Don't you go full goldfish with the? All right, boy. Wait a minute. There's the morning after pill.
Yeah,
but that's not the abortion pill. Well, that's RU486.
Look at you.
I've always thought it was weird that they named it RU486 because it looks like a vanity license plate. When you 86 somebody, you come RU486.
So the answer is yes.
86ing this fetus?
Yes, very
much. You are 486ing this fetus.
It's got to be an inside joke, like from the development stage.
Well, because all those, you know, names are made up anyway.
Yeah.
RU486.
I
just picture it in a license plate.
RU469.
You're right.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I never thought about that.
I was always like, it's like Premarin.
Yep.
Is
mare urine.
Mm-hmm. But I was like, I'd pick two other words and put them together. You know what I mean?
Horse piss. Alex. Yeah,
I don't know. Put some happy euphemistic spin on it. I have no idea where they ended up with RU486, but it reads like you're 86ing a fetus.
At least it's accurate.
So then you take the pill, but I thought you took the pill at a point. I think if you had to bury something, we were past the pill.
Possibly. Well, I'm out of my depth on this one.
Depends on when you take it, I guess.
Yeah.
Could be a cluster that comes, you know, out.
All right.
So according to a sworn affidavit from the detective of Norfolk Police Investigation Unit, police started with a tip from a fucking snitch, a woman who described herself as a friend of the teenager.
Not for long.
Who said she saw her take a pill in April and reported it to the police. And then they got a warrant for Facebook talking to her mother.
How could you possibly see somebody like I walked into her bedroom at midnight?
What this is?
She had a pill that I recognized. How is I saw I you took a – and look, if somebody said, here's a pill for an abortion, you'd probably take it – probably close the door maybe.
Yeah, close the bathroom door.
Just like head in to the bathroom or something. I saw her take a pill.
Go in the town square, let everybody know.
Yeah, but
if it was a friend, she probably told her and was like, guess what this is? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, she must have, yeah.
So Facebook, I know a lot of people got a lot of shit on those Facebook Messenger back and forth, so all kinds of stuff.
This is a very eerie harbinger.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Where do they get the name RU486, Chris?
Yeah, the company that made it, it was the 38,486th version.
Boo.
And the company starts with like RU. So
like WD-40.
Yeah, it's like Rassel Ulof or something like that. And then so it's shortened.
But then the four. But does
486 is 38,486th version. Or whatever,
wow.
You know.
But does anyone raise their hand and go,
I know we landed on this totally randomly. That said,
we got another drug that we're just putting the finishing touches on that is for urethra blockage, and we could do that, and then we could make you RU487, and we could avoid my kids.
People won't trust it because that's too high a number.
My kids were supposed to be born on 666. That was their date. That was their due date.
And you were too superstitious to allow this?
It was shocking at the time.
No, it was. I wasn't really. It was just sort of disgust. Like, well, can you have a C-section the following day? Like, yep. It's like, all right, let's do that then.
I have to say, I'm surprised.
That's all it was.
First that off, was a big wedding
need,
date.
They need all the fucking help they can get, number one. Number two,
they should hope to have Satan on their side.
It's like saying, I don't know. It's like it's basically like saying, hey, we're going to be in Maui, and we can either come home on Friday the 13th or Saturday the 14th. And you just go, I don't know, let's do Saturday. Like, I'll flip a coin. If it's a coin toss, let's not fly on Friday the 13th. That's basically what that is.
You know me. I'm insane. I have no thoughts about this.
About 666?
Flying on Friday the 13th or 666?
Well, I guess if somebody said...
Heathen.
I guess if somebody said... And Friday the 13th, by the way, used to be a bigger deal.
Yeah.
They made movies about it. The there was shit that went down.
Under ladders.
It was basically the Devil's Triangle, you know, right. The Bermuda Triangle. Yeah. It had something. It doesn't carry much black cats crossing in front. You know, there's a thing.
Been debunked.
If they would have, you got a hold of somebody in this country, more so 20 years ago, and said, would you like to go skydiving on Friday the 13th or the following Friday, Friday the 20th?
They'd
most Americans would go, just wait. Yeah, or we'll go the one before.
I'm not in a hurry.
That's what I'm saying.
I think you're right. I think it did have more gravitas
in
the
80s. It had gravitas.
Yeah. All right.
You'd have, if it was Friday the 13th, they would announce it, and you'd have to kind of think about it a little bit. Like, what am I doing today?
Trichodecophobia.
Trichodecophobia.
Trichodecophobia. Fear of Friday the 13th. Or the number 13. Or, yeah.
General fear of 13.
There you go. And yeah, like it's 2022 and there's still elevators without a 13th floor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just saw that in Chicago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Let's talk Britney Spears.
Yeah.
So TMZ reports that Kevin Federline has had enough of Britney Spears' public attacks on their sons together, a lot of Instagram posts about it, Sean Preston and Jaden James. And now he wants to show the world just how contentious, he says, Britney's relationship has been with the boys for years. You know, they weren't allowed to go to the wedding and she got all pissed about it. Well, Federline posted a series of videos Wednesday night saying, I cannot sit back and let my sons be accused in this way after what they've been through. As much as it hurts, we decided as a family to post these videos of the boys took when they were 11 and 12.
Not the whole family.
Yeah.
This isn't even the worst of it. The lies have to stop. I hope our kids grow up to be better than this. So in one video, she's in the car with the boys and like saying she took one of their phones away for a week because one of them showed up without shoes on and it was cold out and she was in shock. Mm. And as a little brother and he's your blood, how could you allow this? So it really didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And then here's this one. It sounds like she's talking to the younger one. Check out the vocal range she goes through in about 60 seconds.
They thought something was wrong with me because I had your boobs are poking out.
Come in here when we're trying to go to bed and then you just go on, you
it's
say.
It's my house. If I forget something, then I do.
This is my house. Ooh. If I want to come in here and give you lotion for your face because it is coarse, and all you tell me, no, it's fine, no, it's not fine. You all better start respecting me. Are we clear?
Yeah.
And when Robin calls, and you're all, even Robin's a fucking kid. She goes, what have you been doing to your kids? You all need to start treating me like a woman with worth. I am a woman, okay? Be nice to me.
She's bringing a lot of extraneous stuff into this.
Yeah, put a lot
conversation.
On the kids.
What's going on with the lotion?
Because your face is coarse. I've never heard of that.
11-year-old needs lotion?
I guess.
Frostbite?
Coarse is not a word I've ever heard.
And also the
explain
whole walking around with no shoes. This bitch is naked in half
That's
the posts
true.
I see her in. All she's wearing is her hand over her cooter. Cooter hand. Strong cooter
Don't break
hand.
It. That's a cooter hand.
You've heard of pimp hand. This actually, is Cooter Hand.
Strong Cooter Hand.
Ben, if it's convenient, I don't know if you're on the page or not, but can you pull up that other video? I don't know if you have it up or not. We weren't going to have it. But yeah, it's hard to figure out. It's not like, oh, I see what the problem is. It's so hard to follow what the fuck she's talking about that I can't really even distill it into anything.
Well, there's big Free Britney movement and everything, but in this case, can't sort of both sides be right? Like, can't she be sort of unfit and nutty? And can't the parents be horrible custodians and money-grubbing at the same time?
But if she's unfit, that's a family court issue. Like, you know, like, maybe she shouldn't have her kids all the time. It doesn't mean you can take her money away. It's all her money.
Also, whether it's her or, like, Alec Baldwin. Remember everyone went nuts over Alec Baldwin yelling at his daughter?
Thoughtless little piggy.
And whatever. Historically, parents have yelled at kids.
And how?
They've not really had recording devices back in the 1600s. Yeah. You know, you had a scroll and a stenographer, yeah. But they couldn't write that fast. Yeah. You had parchment, a guy trying to draw you with your hand up in there. right. But this notion of, like, we have a tape of this parent yelling at their kid, it's pretty ubiquitous.
Absolutely.
Shit.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. I don't think that I, now being a parent, I get that completely, whatever. But this is like she's going back and forth, like in the hall talking about her boobs, the kids trying to sleep,
it seems
the vocal
a little,
gymnastics.
Seems a little nutty.
This is, I think we have part of the car rant where she's talking about taking his phone away for a week because he didn't have shoes on.
Have you lost your f-ing mind? I do care, but I'm shocked as f-ing with you. And I don't know what to do. And I'm scared of you because you're weird, because you're going through puberty. I was in shock in the store when I looked down. And Jaden, how are you so cool about that? Your brother being with Baron's big feet, size 13 now?
Well, he's my brother.
And all the more. Exposed his feet, your blood in an ice cream shop in Alaska weather? Don't you think that's a little odd?
Inside of all ice cream shops, Alaska weather, I feel like.
That's a good point.
It is.
It's
full
rarely
of frozen
balmy.
Containers. Yeah.
Frosty.
Yeah. Go into a bakery kids? If you want to warm up.
That's true.
How old are those kids?
In that one, I think the oldest one was 15. So the other one's like 13 or 14.
My parents rarely cursed around me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My dad.
I think Chrissy's parents did.
I think my dad yelled cocksucker once. And I know exactly where I was.
Did he get rear-ended or something? Or someone?
No, but you have some. Your memory is sort of correct. I was we're going down Laurel Canyon to his shitbox apartment, and I'd taken his trumpet mouthpiece and held it out the window because I thought, my mind was going to make a Louis Anderson. I'm not Louis Anderson. Louis Armstrong. It was going to make a trumpet sound if I held it out the window, and I dropped it. And, you know, of course, it was probably $11 worth of mouthpiece, so we had to stop and search for it and everything. And it was nicked up, you'd have to. My dad would have had to have, if you gave that to me, I'd just walk into another shop and have, like, Sean Buffett out with some emery, whatever. But my dad didn't have those skills. And I think he yelled cocksucker.
At you?
No, to the heavens, right. where God is.
You're not going to believe this. I have the sound that the thing made as a drop, yeah.
You want pants? I need rent.
Yeah, it's Louis Anderson.
That's Louis. Yeah.
This is how cool my parents could be back in the day. The rule in our house set by my dad was you can only swear if you're not yelling at someone in anger. So if it's part of a joke or, your shtick,
that's good.
You'll look the other way, but you don't look at someone and swear at them.
So for comedic emphasis.
Exactly.
Yeah. My parents they didn't talk, so there wasn't a lot of opportunity for swearing. Swearing will come out with talkers a lot because they'll be rolling along and shit will come flying out.
You gotta talk to swear.
When you just told your cocksucker story, this memory that I've never shared with anyone because it was pretty traumatic at the time. The best was visiting my dad or us all coming out here when we were little. And he was taking us to Knott's Berry Park, but he was kind of...
Is Knott's Berry Park the same as Knott's Berry Farm?
Farms. I'm sorry. That's all what right. I meant. Thank you.
And that's very fun. Across nope, the street nope, for poor right. people.
You're right. Can't it is. It's the kids, the poor Disney. But
it
we,
is. Yeah.
He, $20 too rich for
a
your
lot of, a lot of rampant ADD in our family and a lot of unchecked all kinds of stuff. And so at the time. So he's driving around and we can't find a parking space and he's getting pissed. And he starts yelling at us in the back, this place is called Knott's Berry. Fuck. It's Knott's Berry.
Oh,
fuck.
Wow.
Yelling at us. And
unhinged dad is a good unhinged dad.
He was mad at us, but he needed to get it out.
Yeah. They closed it a few weeks ago because too many people fist fighting.
That's right. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Classy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I love my dad, by the way. You all know that, yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, let's move on to somebody who might not be as proud of their dad. Armie Hammer. We've been asking where he is, what he's doing. And there was that rumor that he was selling timeshares.
How does that even, like, speaking of his dad, like, what if you were there along for the ride? Like, you were a friend of the family, friend of the parents, and what have you. And you were there for Social Network and, I don't know.
Lone Ranger.
Lone Ranger. Whatever.
Yeah, he was
whatever.
In one of their really big movies.
You see it, and then at some point, and then you just went to do missionary work in the Congo or something, and then you came back.
Yeah.
Like
that
5 years later.
And be like, whatever happened to that
dashing? Is he running Hollywood yet? Like, no. What happened? And then you'd be like, what did he do? Did he drop the N-bomb or something? Would he injure himself somehow? He can't speak.
I'm vegan. He wasn't talking about eating meat, was he?
Right.
Touch the woman appropriately.
Yeah, is there some Me Too-y thing? Like, how would you even describe
endorse Donald Trump?
Guy? Yeah, right.
Well, the good news is we won't have to describe it. It will be described to us because on Discovery Plus, September 2nd, there is a docuseries about what the hell is going on with this family. It's called The House of Hammer, and it is
it's on Landor.
This thing goes
good gay porn
back.
Bar. House of Hammer.
Actually, you know what? Well, I only grabbed a minute of it, but I kind of want to watch the whole thing. It's kind of long,
too.
Though. But the series will air on September 2nd, and it gets into the legacy of the Hammer family, alleging many of the men had a real dark side. Armie's aunt, Aunt Casey, she has a self-published book from 2015 called Surviving My Birthright, where she claims that her father sexually abused her and just like a lot of dark shit. But here's a minute of the trailer with two of the alleged victims of Armie Hammer. It starts out with one of them reading a text.
Yeah, hammer time.
Don't hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
Reading a text allegedly from Armie Hammer.
I have a fantasy about having someone prove their love and devotion and tying them up in a public place at night and making their body free use and seeing if they will f*** strangers for me.
My bet was going to involve showing up at your place and completely tying you up and incapacitating you and then being able to do whatever I wanted to every single hole in your body until I was done with you.
Sounds polite.
In the beginning, I felt like this was all perfect. This was amazing. He would say things, God, you're so perfect. How could you be this beautiful, this smart, so funny? It's like you're made for me. But then things changed. He pushes your boundaries a little bit at a time. You're his, completely. These are messages that are being sent literally within seconds of each other. I mean, he said, I'm 100% a cannibal. I'm freaking out. It was all he wanted to ever talk about. Then you get a note that says, I'm
going to bite the fuck out of you. And then it goes on to say, like, the family was Casey, the aunt says, think of Succession for anyone who's watched Succession. That times a million in terms of just like legacy power.
They're rich, right?
Yeah, they're oil tycoons?
Something. Not the Armin Hammer thing, but something.
But the
something
grandfather's
else.
Name is Armin. Hammer.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
That's who he's named after. So I'm very looking forward to seeing this.
Well, I haven't used this phrase in a while, but it's perfect. It takes all kinds.
There you go.
That's what they used to say when we didn't understand what people were up to.
Or as my mom says, that's why there's 31 flavors of ice cream.
Yeah.
I like her version.
Did now I would argue well, that stuff was pretty gripping and damning. The music,
unnecessary.
If you put wacky sax underneath that from Benny Hill, I just don't think it would have the same impact.
Play it again.
And then he told me he was a cannibal and he was going to try to eat me.
See, this sounds possibly delightful.
And
now
then,
I'm getting a boner. Sounds hot.
He wanted to tie me up in a public place and let somebody abuse all of my holes.
Yeah, keep going.
And then he said he was going to bite me so hard that my vagina would bleed.
I'm inviting this dude to my Super Bowl party. This guy sounds like a fucking good guy to drink with, man. With the cut of his jib.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we've talked about that. Like, who knows? You know, like, he's so objectively good looking and possibly has been in the bubble his entire life, you know, coddled and catered to and given whatever he wants and looks so handsome that you just, you're like, we've talked about your pleasure centers get burnt out and you have to go to the next crazy thing to like feel something.
Well, yeah, it's a Richard Gere hamster theory. But the, I don't know where you guys come down, but I would say you get assigned sexual proclivities and interests and things like that. You just get assigned those either at birth or when you're 13 or whatever it is. And
yeah, it's those first, you know, formative years, right, where you're going to be either twisted or set upon a straight and narrow path.
But I don't, I mean, there is a version of twisting someone's sexuality. Yes. There's also just a certain amount of dudes who like other dudes. That's just where you're at.
There
are. You're 13, you're a dude, and you like other dudes. Now, that would have been life-destroying in many other times. It is life-destroying in many cultures. Mm-hmm. So you would have a difficult time in the Middle East if this is what you were discovering about yourself, and you could get killed because of it, but you like dudes. And I would imagine if you're in the Middle East and you had an older uncle or dad, he might tell you to knock it off. You're going to get killed. But I'll bet you those dudes still find other dudes and hook up with those dudes, and both dudes could be put in a burlap sack and thrown off of a roof. There's ass dudes. There's boob dudes. There's eye dudes. I don't trust them. They like looking at people's eyes. There's just dudes. Like, how do you distinguish between the boob dude and the ass dude, and who made them, and what societal pressure? Oh, my grandpappy was an ass man. It's just, there's a thing that sets in. Yeah. And I'm starting to think of pedophilia being that way, even though it can be created in the lab because you were abused. Right. But whatever Army's got, I feel like
that's in the DNA.
What? For the grace of God, we could have gone that way, too. I could have had a hankering for a hunk of flesh at some point. Yeah, it's kind of fun, though.
Wait, is that the new hunk of cheese guy?
It's just like, we talk about the guys that just can't be satiated. You know the guys who are like, on his honeymoon night, after he laid down with his bride, he went out and got a prostitute. Yeah. You know, it's like, and then at some point they get busted, right, and at some point they're on TMC, and at some point they lose their marriage and their job or whatever.
Well, and that's addiction, right?
Yeah, it's just like, we did kind of do that with addiction. We went, look, it's a genetic thing, it's a disease, you know, we say knock it off. You know, just stop at two drinks. Right. Why do you have to have a third? But that's us.
Right.
That's not the addicted. Right. You know what I mean? And hey, Army, knock it off. Or hey, guy in the Middle East.
Right.
Quit yearning for chode, you know? But I don't know. Maybe we're oversimplifying it, and maybe we're also kind of doing, you know, what Linda Hamilton did with us about food. Like, well, just stop eating.
Just don't eat as much.
Yeah,
Have
some stream water and go to bed. It's like, that's not what we do. We sit around and think about food all day. Yeah.
Speaking of oversimplifying, I should mention that when I said you'd be twisted in those first years as opposed to being put down a narrow path, I wasn't talking about being gay. I was talking about wanting to eat people's ribs, lest anyone think I was.
But how much different is,
you said straight,
whatever it is you want sexually, you know, if that's what's in you? And could you as a boob man go to prison and be talked out of it after 11 years and then released? And you just go, you know, they do that thing where it's, oh, he went right back to doing what he was doing. Yeah, that's what he wants to do.
And that's the thing. It's like, I understand like 12-step programs and all that. And, you know, if you're sober for 35 years, you still say like, I'm an alcoholic, you know, but when Army Hammer goes to rehab because he wants to like eat people and fuck them. I don't know. Can you change that in 2 months?
They're gonna have to go Clockwork Orange on his ass.
Yeah,
you know, keep his eyes open. Right. Some horrific images.
Get boner.
I argue that kind of stuff that's off the beaten path is harder to eradicate,
right,
because it's so powerful, right, and so deep. And I'm imagining it probably just like the 19-year-old boy in the Middle East. He probably wishes he wasn't gay.
Of course.
So
he could go along to get along.
Here we are.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's an exchange program, because I do wish I was gay. Fucking me and Joel McHale just take off.
Oh, into the sunset.
Start a new life. You know what I mean? Dual income. You know.
And how.
Yeah.
Lots of that.
You can get him a permit.
Holding permits. Get a permit.
He can give me a perm. I'll give him a permit. Yeah.
You pull his permit. He pulls.
Better life.
Yeah.
My PUD. All right, let's bring it home. PUD pulling. Do you remember PUD pulling from Beating Off?
Oh, of course.
Pull your PUD. There, pull this PUD.
That's right.
Is that like pocket pool?
No, it's just jacking off.
Is it jacking off? Good old-fashioned jacking off.
But talking on your PUD.
They call it pulling your PUD.
Remember what you guys enlightened me to years ago? That you would yell it. Can't say it.
PUD whacker was the term.
Are you something off with yourself?
I
can't say it.
Oh, what? God.
Fagging off with yourself.
Oh, fagging off with yourself. Yeah, that was a whole thing.
That was probably before my time.
I had never heard that term.
That I don't think I heard that before Mr. Carroll introduced it to my life.
Yeah, that was a real thing.
Crazy.
And, you know, factually pretty accurate, I would say, if you just filmed it.
Okay.
You know.
Would you like me to bring it home?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Uglier girls F better.
Gina. That was the news with Gina.
That was hurtful, Chris.
I'm going to give you a crazy, crazy bit of trivia that has no business on the show, but you mentioned PUD whacker. There is an obscure and yet star-studded movie called Cruise. C-R-U-Z. With Ben Affleck's in it. I believe Matthew McConaughey's in it. Before they were stars, this is like circa 96.
Mm-hmm.
And Matt Damon, a then unknown relatively Matt Damon, plays a cameo. I don't think he has any lines. And his name is Edgar Pudwacker.
Oh, really? Yes. Now, who
so that's extremely weird, and but I had to unload that.
Yes. And how could a man with a brain tumor possibly access that? I say this is all just an elaborate ruse and you're fine.
Cruise would rename School Days if you're looking for it.
Glory Days.
Glory
Days.
Yes,
School Days, Spike Lee.
Oh, and it's back.
I was way off. Adam Carolla would say, oh, I was way off.
Way off. All right. I'm going to be in Salt Lake City, Wise Guys Comedy Club, coming up this Friday and Saturday. We'll do two live pods, and then stand-up shows as well. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the stuff and get the book. 8 hours and 34 minutes worth of audiobook. My longest effort, but we did not raise the price. I am Rappaport. Michael Rappaport can be found on iHeartMedia as well. Until next time, this is Adam for Michael and Gina and Bald. Say it. Mahalo.
Cool. Dope. Fresh.
Get your copy of Adam's sixth book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Get it now. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And get your tickets to see the Ace Man in Salt Lake City this weekend. Get your tickets now at adamcarolla.com.
You own, you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save.
It's Geico Easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long, the biggest movies are streaming free on Pluto TV's Popcorn Summer Movies. Watch star-studded blockbusters like Titanic and Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. Or fall in love with charming rom-coms like Hitch and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. The best part? Pluto TV is 100% free. No credit cards, not even a sign-up. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies, TV shows, and more. Download the Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in, watch free.